Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. We're talking to Ingrid Palacios, and she is from New England Donor Services, Community Outreach Coordinator, and Dr. Oscar Serrano from Hartford Hospital. And you are a transplant surgeon from New England Donor Services, and we're going to talk about all things organ donation because there's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about organ donation. And there's a lot of staggering statistics going on right here in the state of Connecticut on how we're doing organ donation-wise and how we can do better. Thank you guys so much for coming in today. First of all, let's talk about it. How do people become an organ donor the easiest way possible?
Well, I think one of the easiest ways that someone can become an organ donor is when they get their license. That's by far probably the most common
way. That's how I did it.
That's right. Another way, if for whatever reason that option was not chosen at the time of obtaining a license, there are many ways that you can become an organ donor. You can express it to a family member. You can put it in writing through either a living will or some other legal document. Also, when you get admitted to the hospital, if you're able to verbalize your decision, any hospital staff member, a nurse, a doctor, can jot down your desire to donate. And if you want to donate in life, you can actually also reach out to any transplant program near you and discuss with a donation coordinator about donating a piece of your body to someone else.
Now, is there, I know it's in this day and age, though, websites everywhere, you know, we have a Facebook page for everything. Is there a way to do this online that
Absolutely.
Makes the process easier?
Yes. And so you can nowadays register online in registerme.org. It literally takes 38 seconds to register.
No kidding.
Yes. And for the people that have iPhone, you can use the health app. Your information
the health
is,
app on the
yes,
iPhone. Okay.
Already, some of it is populated already there, and so you can sign up there in very few seconds.
See,
it's
isn't that
easy.
Amazing
yes.
the way that works? And it's registerme.org, and
yes.
I'll have, if you're listening in the car, don't worry, I'll write all this down on the WRCH.com, and we'll get all the information. So here's the deal. You decide you want to be an organ donor. You put it on your license. Or you do registerme.org, you let your family know. But there's all different kinds of organ donation, and some people are still hesitant to become organ donors. And there's a lot of myths and misconceptions about why they don't want to become an organ donor.
I would say that the most common misconception that I hear about is that if you are a registered donor and you come into the emergency department because you were involved in an accident or you had another misfortune, that the doctors won't take care of you because they want to take your organs.
Yeah.
That is by far the most common misconception that I hear about, and it is absolutely 100% wrong. As physicians, we take an oath to take care of everyone that comes in through the door.
Hippocratic oath.
That's correct. It's a Hippocratic oath. And we take care of everyone until they pass. And so we are actually not allowed by law to take anyone's organs until they have actually died.
Pronounced death.
Correct. And so when we have individuals come in and they express that apprehension, I find that most of the time when we educate them about how the medical care system works, that they somehow come around to the idea that if you are going to die, something that inevitably will happen to every one of us, you might as well leave a piece here for someone who may be able to use it and go on to have a somewhat of a normal life.
Yeah, the science of it is really amazing to me. And also, I learned from you guys at New England Donor Services, the age is not really, some people are like, I'm too old, I can't do it. And nobody wants mine. And that's not true either.
Yes, we had recently had and learned about 100. She was 102 years old, and this was kind of our oldest donor here in the United States. So that is something also that shouldn't. I always tell families, don't rule yourself out. Don't you remove yourself. A lot of people, when they reach certain age, remove themselves from the registry because they think they're too old. And I say, that just let the professionals determine that, you know, when you're not, but you don't need your organs anymore. You can help so many people, not only with organs, but also with tissues and corneas.
And think about how there's people, you know, all over the New England area that are waiting for donations. So what's the average for someone who needs a kidney donation? Average wait is how many years, right?
So the average wait time in Connecticut is about 6.5 years.
Wow.
And we actually live in an area that is somewhat better than the rest of our surrounding community. So if you were down in New York, you would wait about 11 years for a kidney transplant.
11 years. Wow. And you know what? You think about big organs like kidneys, hearts, lungs. I saw a double lung transplant just happened in New York recently, right? Mm-hmm. There's amazing innovations happening in science, breakthroughs every day of new and different stuff. And we think of all the big things, but this boils down to little stuff too. I am an organ recipient.
Oh, wow.
But on the smallest of possible scales, but an important one to someone like me who received it, but I have a bone transplant.
Yeah.
I had some dental work done. I had a veiled root canal, and I had an infection in my cheekbone, and they had to do osteosurgery, and they asked if I wanted.
And you had
there was
sign.
Pig, and there was cow, or I could have human, and we chose human, and I actually received a bone transplant.
Yes.
So if you think about, you know, organ donation, It's much bigger than lungs and
from one
kidneys.
Person,
it's everything.
From one person, and just with organs, 8 people can be saved.
Yeah.
And also up to 75 people can be, their lives can be transformed and saved with organs, tissues, and corneas. So
yeah.
And that's from only one donor.
Imagine that.
Yes.
And now I got my driver's license when I was 18 years old, and it was one of the easiest questions I ever had because, you know, you think about it. I'm not going to, can't take it with you. They say it about money. Can't take it with you either when it comes to your organs. And think about one person, all the major organs, and then cornea, skin, bone. There's so many different ways that you can be helping and essentially paying it forward in life.
Yes.
So a great example is National Donate Life Registry. You can make specific decisions about your organ tissues, too. So if you, if you're a little hesitant about it and you're adding yourself to the registry.
And, you know, it's also cultural and religious. Like we have a lot of, when we work with the Muslim community, for instance, they have a lot of rituals and traditions that they do with the body of the deceased. And so some people could have hesitations with the eyes because of the bathing that they do after death, etc. And this process of donation, I just want to make emphasis that is very family driven. And all religious and cultural beliefs are very well respected. And so if you have any hesitation, like you were saying, with any organ or anything that you feel that it could be against your beliefs or there's something that you don't feel comfortable about, I always tell my families, donation is something that should give you, it has to give you hope and comfort. If it's stressful, if it's something that is giving you more burden than not, then it's not the right decision. And so we do this, like Dr. Serrano was saying, our purpose is education so people can be at ease and know that their wishes are going to be respected.
Now, so if you had, for instance, you can actually go on the donor registry and specify how you'd like it done.
Absolutely.
Or this is what I'm willing to donate and this is how I don't want to donate.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about organ shortages. There's currently more than 115,000 men, women, and children who are waiting for life-saving transplants. I mean, every 12 minutes, they're saying another name is being added to the list. And let's talk about what can be donated.
So as far as solid organs go, you can donate lungs and heart. You can donate liver. You can donate 2 kidneys. You can donate a pancreas, and you can donate intestines. So those are solid organs.
I didn't
organs.
Know about intestines, too. Wow.
They are a very rare subset of the transplant community. But Usually, they are done at very specialized centers, and the number is not very big. So I would imagine we don't do more than 100 a year. I'd have to check.
Now, is that
numbers.
Be for someone who has like celiac or Crohn's disease? Who gets an intestine transplant?
So primarily individuals that have what we define as short gut syndrome.
Okay.
So those are individuals that, for example, if someone was born premature and the baby had an infection or a vascular accident, meaning that the blood supply to their intestine was cut off, then what we need to do as physicians is go in and take out what is dead. Because if we don't, it's going to kill the patient.
Yeah.
So that individual is left with insufficient length of intestine to absorb nutrients
to grow. So it affects the digestive process.
So many of the individuals that have short gut are either individuals that were neonates when they developed this problem, or were relatively young in life and they had some surgical problem, some vascular problem that inevitably led to them having their entire bowel resected.
Okay.
As I said, that's a very small subset. It is by far the smallest number of patients in our in the transplant community for solid organ transplantation.
But it's there and it's possible. It's amazing how much you can do.
We did three last year in 2018.
Wow. Now, let's talk about other things that what steps are involved in the organ donation process. So let's talk more so about living donation, because I think that people forget that there are still ways to donate and in a living donation capacity.
That's right. So as you said, the waiting list for an organ is about 115,000 individuals in this country. Nearly 100,000 of those are waiting for a kidney. So the overwhelming majority of the wait list is for kidney recipients. Kidney recipients are fortunate, if you want to think about it that way, in the sense that they can receive an organ from someone who is still alive.
And someone they know.
That's
right. Like Selena Gomez did it with her best friend.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone they know. We often at Hartford receive patients who want to donate basically to the list. They come in with a mission and they say, this is my calling. I want to just donate to someone who I don't know just to improve their lives.
Altruistic donors. Yeah.
Wow, that's really amazing. I had read a story about a group of 12 people who were all on a waiting list for different organs.
That's right.
And then their spouses all did testing to see if they would match. And they ended up being able to match a couple of them. Like a husband was on the waiting list and the wife was able to match up with another person on the waiting list. And they all kind of swapped kidneys and they were able to save a couple of lives through that. So it's amazing how you're capable to match up with someone.
Right. So this kidney swap is what's most colloquially known as, is run through a variety of registries. The most common one that we utilize is called the National Kidney Registry. So you go on there if you need a kidney or you want to donate a kidney. It's the easiest if you have a pair because then that pair, it basically has a kidney to give and they have a kidney that they need to receive.
Sure.
So what happens is for example, if let's say Ingrid needed a kidney and I wanted to give her a kidney, but we were incompatible. That means that my blood group is B, she's an A, and she cannot receive my kidney.
Yeah.
But let's say in California, there is a brother and a sister who are also B and A, and they are also incompatible. So what happens through the swap, and they all, the National Kidney Registry, manage all of the logistics. That means managing everyone in California, the transportation of the organ, as well as the organ here, and then basically creating a swap. So I donate my kidney to the sister in California. The brother in California receives the kidney or donates the kidney to Ingrid.
Yes.
And that's a swap.
That and what are the steps even involved in that? Where would somebody even start?
Well, for one, you can go to your nearest transplant program. Any major transplant program in our region has access and has ties to the National Kidney Registry. Or other programs. Like I said, it is not the only program available. There's a variety of exchange programs. All of these programs have deep roots in the transplant community, and the entire goal is to create as many chains as possible. So what I just described to you is just a simple one-for-one swap.
But that's happening in multitudes.
So what happens is if, for example, the couple that we just talked about in California happen to have someone who is what we call highly sensitized. That means that they cannot be matched to just any organ because they have so many antibodies that they may react to 99% of organs. Then they'll go out and find some other couple in South Dakota who may be able to give them a kidney, but then they need to give a kidney to someone and they can't give it to the person in South Dakota, so they give it to Hartford.
It's like a puzzle.
And then Hartford. So the largest chains that have occurred up to this point involve over 100 pairs of individuals. And it's pretty amazing. Again, if you go to the National Kidney Registry, they have some amazing videos of where you're watching all these flights that have kidneys on them. And they're just flying all over the country. And it's just an amazing feeling just to watch.
I have to tell you, I went to the Flying Monkey in Hartford is at Brainerd Airport, and I watched it happen. And I was like, what's happening? And then I was like, oh my gosh. That's an organ donation. Like that was like real, like the stuff you see only, you know, on hospital shows on TV, and it happened. It's really an amazing process. Now let's talk about how New England Donor Services is such an asset to our community. You guys are working with nearly 200 hospitals serving 14 million people in our region. You guys are doing a lot of work screening potential donors and doing donor referrals. I mean, you're doing amazing stuff. Yeah. Let's talk about how you lead the discussion on organ donation.
Yes. So like I mentioned before, our focuses are the families. So that's, these are the center of everything. So being very, once we get the referrals from the hospitals, like, you know, we screen to see if there's any non-suitable situations happen there that a person cannot be an organ donor. And that's another thing when people say, if I register, and I wanted to add when Dr. Serrano was talking earlier, if I register as an organ donor, doctors won't save my life because they're going to take my organs. You don't even know if you have organs that can be transplantable. Yeah. You know, that
there's still a lot of what-ifs.
So many things. Exactly. So only 4 or 5% of people that are registered from those 14 million can be actually become organ donors. So it's a very rare and a very unique opportunity. And that's what we do when we go to hospitals and talk to families. We offer that very rare and very unique opportunity to everyone that has the potential to become an organ donor. And some of these people that are either with impending deaths or they're being already declared dead are registered donors, but some of them are not.
Yeah.
So our discussion with the family, it's always the same. We always offer the opportunity, and then we provide the education on what the process entitles, the timing, etc.
And I have to tell you, New England Donor Services, a friend of mine had passed away, and his family said how grateful they were to you being there at a moment in time where, you know, their world's falling apart.
Yes.
But at the same time, they realized the opportunity that they had to keep him alive in a way.
We do that in collaboration with all the team that is already taking care of that patient. So it's a very collaborative approach. And so we come together with the nurses that have been taking care of that family and that patient, with the doctors, with the interpreters in many cases, when we're working with different cultures, with religious leaders, with chaplains. So it's a very collaborative effort to support that families, not only to go and talk about organ donation, but it's also supporting the families, like you mentioned, in the worst moments of their lives.
If you're just joining us today on Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRC, we're talking to New England Donor Services, Dr. Oscar Serrano and Ingrid Palacios, and we're talking about everything organ donation because there's so much that's not known out there, and Connecticut doesn't have the greatest rates for organ donation, and I can't figure out why. We're such a forward-thinking state. What's holding us back, do you think?
I mean, I think if anyone can answer that question, you know, that's the million-dollar question. As you said, Connecticut is such a forward-thinking state. It's in the Northeast, which is generally considered a very open-minded liberal community. But as you said, the rates for donation across the United States, or the willingness to donate an organ, are in the range of 55-56%. Connecticut's rates as a whole are 46%.
And that's compared to the rest of the country.
That's correct.
Yeah. We should be doing much better than that. So let's get us, how are we going to make it better? What are we going to do?
So that's what community outreach, the piece comes in place. So New England Donor Services and also Hartford Hospital with Dr. Serrano, we are trying to promote community outreach initiatives. So we don't have to, we don't wait to have the discussion about organ donation when someone is dying at the hospital setting. We're trying to do and have unite efforts to do initiatives not only with the English-speaking community, but like our Latino community, African-American, and other demographics in Connecticut and in New England, where we can have that opportunity to educate, like we're doing right now through your radio show, to educate the community, to give the opportunity for them to ask questions and
have all the right, you'll have the exactly. answers. So essentially, just knowing that someone like New England Donor Services exists and that you have answers to questions that someone might have. And you know what? All the information, it's neds.org is where you can find, you know,
more information
about yes. donor registries, about organ donation, even about tissue donation, you know, what tissues can be donated, because there's so many things going on. Corneas, skin, like we said before, you know, if you have questions about that kind of stuff, it's all available. And you guys are so well trained and well versed that you have the answers that people are looking for.
Yes. And that's what we wanted to do more and more in the community. Next year in 2020, we're having the AIDMAT conference. Hartford State actually is going to be the one hosting. So our organization
right,
is hosting. We're having it in Hartford in September.
Okay.
It's the Association for Multicultural Transplant Affairs. And so that's going to be a huge conference, and in hopes of getting together with all our other colleagues out there nationally that are doing community outreach and doing all this education in different communities. So we're all getting together this year here in Hartford.
Okay. Now, you guys have events all the time. Like,
yes.
I know that in April you have the Blue and Green Walk up in Windsor, because
yes.
that's my husband's parking lot. It's not
yeah.
his parking lot, but he worked. That's one of the places where he manages buildings up there, and the walk is there every year. We take the kids every year. But
that's
people
awesome.
Can donate all the time.
Yes.
This is a year-round thing. We're always looking for fundraisers and ways for people to raise money to do programs that educate communities and make sure that people know what's going on in the organ donation world and
yes.
things that are moving forward.
Yes, we celebrate several also national observances. Like at this time of Thanksgiving, we're celebrating National Donor Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing a lot of events since November and December. We're like in every hospital and also in churches is when all religions come together to support organ donation. And so,
because you know what, that's one of those things where
yes.
certain religions, you know, had thought that It wasn't part of their beliefs.
Yes.
And there's been an evolution in that as well. There's been a lot of movement forward where, you know what, it's okay.
Yes.
And that's a great opportunity for people to see it for themselves and see a bunch of different religions coming together.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about raising money and volunteers for your community. Do you have opportunities for people to volunteer? Is this something people can wear jeans on Friday and pay $5 and make donations? Because, you know, every little bit counts, right?
Everything that we do out in the community is mainly with volunteers. So you can go to our website and then you will see the volunteer, like anyone can sign up to be a volunteer. You don't have to have a bond or an experience with organ donation to be a volunteer. You only had to have the willing to help and be serving others. And you can do several things. You can be a speaker for us. You can be doing interviews like this. You can be doing health fairs, events in the community. Anything is available. And you can see that in our website at neds.org.
Now, Dr. Serrano, you work with Hartford Hospital in
yes.
the transplant program, but I mean, this New England Donor Services works with hospitals all over the area, right?
That's right.
And there's a great connection with hospitals within the Massachusetts hospitals, Yale, New Haven, Hartford Hospital, that you all work in conjunction with each other. So when you get an organization like New England Donor Services, you have more opportunity to make more connections, right?
That's right. I think, and that's the way transplant surgeons, transplant physicians work We not only provide services for Hartford Hospital and for our patients that are on the wait list from Hartford Hospital, but when I go out and work with New England Donor Services, I am a part of New England Donor Services. They partner with all the transplant programs so that we can provide services. So one of the things that, as a surgeon, what I do is I go out on organ recoveries. So many organs may come to Hartford, but a lot of them don't. And that is pretty common across the entire country. When I was in a different transplant program, we did the same thing. We would fly out to get organs that may not necessarily come to us, and they were going to be used for a different hospital. So, and in addition to that, what I want to add to what Ingrid said is New England Donor Services and Organ Procurement Organizations, that's what they are called, OPOs. Mm-hmm. I've worked with several of them. And what we as the physicians do is a tiny, minuscule part in comparison to all of the things that NEDS does. NEDS does community outreach. There's a whole army of nurses, physicians, other social individuals, workers. Social workers, coordinators, chaplains who are involved with the family pre-donation, during donation, and even after donation.
Follow up, yeah.
Exactly. And those are extremely important for how the community sees us as providers, as transplant providers.
Because you see videos online on Facebook of people meeting recipients.
Yeah.
And that's a process that you probably help out with as well.
We do. We can guarantee that it's really
happens. Yeah, there's no guarantee because there's privacy factors.
And that doesn't necessarily happen for every case, but it could happen. And if it happened, we will be there all the way to support them and make it happen. Yeah.
It's amazing work you guys do. And I really, I can't express to the listening audience more how important organ donation is and that it's easy. Go to registerme.org. Mm-hmm. Get yourself registered. You can make sure you specify things that you think you want to keep, things that you know you want to donate. It's the biggest gift you can give. And like Ingrid said earlier, how many people get helped from one person?
Up to 75 people.
Up to 75 people yes. can be helped. And I'm telling you, when I was 18 years old, my mom made me wait to get my license until I was 18. Yeah. So I was 18 years old, and it was the easiest question. They looked at me and said, do you want to be a donor? I was like, of course I do. No. Why not? It should be that easy. These are things that are going to be life-changing.
That is excellent. You had that conversation with your mom, because this is something that we also encourage to people that are registering to discuss it or talk it or notify your family that
it's
this is
perfect.
Your decision, that this is what you wanted to do.
Listen, talking about organ donation over the holidays with your family is probably a better idea than politics.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a great opportunity when families are gathering together to have, you know, just be like, pass the potatoes. And by the way, I'm an organ donor. I just want to make sure all of you know.
Everyone knows. Exactly.
You guys, thank you so much for coming in today. If you want to learn more about organ donation, or if you want to get registered, let's do that first. Registerme.org. And if you want to learn about all the great programs that New England Donor Services does, you can go to NEDS.org. And everything is, well, it's a well laid out
yes.
Website and nice and easy for everybody to figure out. I've been playing with it the whole time during this interview. Thank you guys so much
Thank
for coming
so
in,
much.
Dr. Oscar Serrano and Ingrid Palacios from New England Donor Services.
Thank you Thank so you. Much for having us. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Spotlight this morning on Light 100.5 WRCH.